Good afternoon from City AM on this sunny Friday afternoon. I'm Andy Sylvester. First off, some of you may have noticed that yesterday's podcast did not, in fact, emerge. The short, boring answer is that we had a technical issue with recording, and once we heard the words like irrevocable data loss, that was pretty much that. So apologies from all of us here. But we're back, and it's a very newsy Friday too. Markets across Europe are on the slide today after the emergence of a new so-called super variant of COVID-19 in South Africa. Yes, we are back there again. We're not epidemiologists, but the epidemiologists are saying that more information is needed before we can decide either way on whether or not it really is a cause for concern. Nonetheless, politicians are at least acting a tad quicker this time than when the Delta variant emerged. Flights to and from six African countries were suspended last night, and visitors from there to the UK will now be back on the red list. Heathrow quarantine returns again. The FTSE's down just about 2.5%, and as we record, yet to recover from a pretty grim morning mirrored right across Europe. Elsewhere, the Financial Conduct Authority has pledged to take the next step on its journey towards becoming a more modern regulator, promising to speed up its decision-making processes. The newish CEO, Nicola Rathi, has engaged on a sizable transformation programme that many think will make the regulator a more agile and indeed business-friendly watchdog, while still, of course, protecting consumers. BT have unveiled their new shiny offices in Aldgate, and it's a change at the top at Lidl too. The retailer's called back UK chief Christian Hartnagel to run German operations. Ryan McDonnell will become the UK CEO, having joined the company in 2000 on a graduate scheme. We'll now hear from LinkedIn's UK country manager, Janine Chamberlain. The company, as you can imagine, is doing lots of thinking about the future of work and how to support Brits in the new normal of hybrid working. Janine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to talk about proximity bias, which I guess is something that a lot of people have thought about as we move towards hybrid working. But now you've put a name on it, so perhaps you've grabbed the title of proximity bias. Talk us through it.
Yeah. So it's kind of, if you think about the old saying of out of sight, out of mind, it appears that this is ringing true for workers in the UK who are really concerned that now that we've gone into this world of hybrid, where some people are working from home some of the time and working in an office some of the time, and maybe some people are choosing to work completely remotely, there is a concern that those who are in front of their bosses more frequently, therefore are more visible, will actually be favored by management. And so it's a concern to those who are choosing whether they should go into the office or whether they should work from home, because they're worried about the impact this might have on their career progression. In fact, there's 2/5 of UK workers who have told us that they believe there is still a negative stigma attached to working remotely.
Yeah, so I guess that suggests then that the optimism that we had maybe during the pandemic when we were talking about the end of No, it's two ways to look at it, right? On the one hand, clearly the end of presenteeism has not come. You know, there is still an element of that, I suppose. There also presumably are benefits to being in the office. And I guess that's the balancing act we're all trying to get through.
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, I question if presenteeism was ever gone, because there's also such a thing as digital presenteeism. When do you show up? When do you not show up for digital meetings, right? Or virtual meetings, sorry. But then secondly, yes, I think we're in a unique position now where we're going from a completely level playing field because office workers were all working remotely to now there often being a choice to whether you go remote or whether you go into an office. And then what's the impact if you're the person who chooses not to come into the office? That's something that both businesses and employees are really thinking about now. I think there's some really positive developments within companies who are really considering how do they train their managers to be prepared to make sure that they can allow everybody to thrive within their roles, regardless of the location that somebody chooses to work in.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at the data from LinkedIn as well, the number of remote job adverts that were up on the platform. And clearly, the idea of remote working as a normal state of work rather than hybrid working has also kicked in. I guess when you look to the future, obviously we're in the winter now, the pandemic is still very much around. But as we move forward, managers are going to have to be the leaders on this, do you think? And they're going to have to adapt. And like you said, thinking about allowing everybody to thrive, managers are going to have to develop their own strategies of training people digitally as well as physically, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which luckily the pandemic has taught us a thing or two about digital learning opportunities. There's a lot of online learning taking place, and it does, I think, maybe not start, but there's a big responsibility on managers to make sure that they learn how to lead with predominantly trust and empathy, and move away from some of their maybe traditionally held beliefs that you have to see somebody to kind of believe that they are being productive and that they are doing their job. So it's a different environment for managers to work in.
I mean, something I've found difficult, being frank, you know, obviously team of reporters here, is around when we were all working remotely, found it very difficult to assess how people were feeling, what the mood was, their morale, because you can smile for 15 minutes on a Zoom call and do your, you know, these are my stories for the day, and they can, you know, all be produced. And in a sense, no issues around productivity, no issues around people not doing the job, right? In some cases, actually having the chance to do a bit more work, I think probably be more productive. But I had no idea necessarily whether they were enjoying it, how they were coping with the pandemic, all that kind of thing. Businesses, when we're in the office, it's sort of a lot easier. It kind of happens instinctively. But digitally, you have to, I think, you have to make a point, don't you, of asking those questions. How are you? You okay? In order to keep that work culture alive.
Yeah, and create space for that. It's so easy to fall into the habit of just having a sort of work call. What are we working on? How are we progressing against our targets or whatever it might be? And to not actually make that space for just a little bit of personal conversation, which could be within any kind of call, but could also be specific virtual kind of coffee chats, which I think a lot of companies have introduced. And I think it's really important that we continue to do that. As we have some people coming back to an office and some people still being remote, we need to be mindful that we still need to check in with everybody on how they are feeling. And I agree with you. It's really hard. It's so easy for someone to put on a smile for 15 minutes and then maybe you don't really hear the real story. So there's other ways that companies can listen to their employees and actually gather feedback at scale around how they are feeling, how they are doing, what's the support that they need, and then obviously respond to that by making sure that people do feel supported.
Yeah, it's a challenge for us all. It is the hybrid working experiment. Is we're living through it, and I guess we're all going to have to adapt and thrive. One of the things I always love saying is that it was about 30 years between the first car show in New York and the first traffic light set in New York. So, you know, when we think about the speed with which we adapt to new technologies and new ways of living, we've got some way to go to beat that. Janine, thanks so much for joining us on the City View.
Thanks, Andy.
And that's all from us here at City AM in the newsroom. We'll be back tomorrow, as will your paper in the morning, and I will see you soon. Thanks.